25 minutes before 7 o'clock and 58 degrees in the Twin Cities. Chuck Lilligren here with Farm and Home News for Chevrolet and your Chevrolet dealer. And right now we're on the phone with WCCO Radio News Director Jim Borman in Tracy. Jim, what's the situation now?
Well, Chuck, I've just come back from a survey of the damage. The State Civil Defense Director and his deputy drove around through the area, and this is just a scene of unbelievable devastation. The brute force of this tornado is more than words can describe. It's no lie at all about the boxcar being picked up and hurled into the homes. It apparently sailed right over the house, right over the rooftops of many of the houses, and smashed down into the areas that were hit hardest. There are strange things. You know, there are always freak situations in tornadoes. And you see such things as an aluminum bolt wrapped around a tree, and automobiles just rolled up like a ball, and homes with a whole wall blown out, but with the plumbing still standing on its pipes. The elementary school here, which was an old, extremely well-built brick building with very thick walls, simply blasted to pieces, apparently from internal force. The trees and all simply torn to shreds, and some homes simply vanished. All that's left is the front porch steps, cement steps in the foundation. Some of these homes were immense, big old houses, but they simply vanished from the scene. Others, of course, have been simply ground to bits, and the masonry and the personal belongings, a record player, bedding, and this sort of thing, all balled up, and all of it covered with a coating of sticky, dirty water. Everything is painted gray in this town this morning.
Jim, is it possible for you at this time to estimate the width and the length of the swath the tornado cut in town?
Yes, it traversed the entire city from the southwest to northeast. It cut a swath 3 blocks wide. 30 blocks were affected and 300 homes. The civil defense people tell me that this was much worse than the Waseca tornado of last year. And certainly one of the worst tornadoes in the history of the state. The death toll now has risen to 10 with the finding of a smashed car off in the field and 2 bodies inside. They have not yet been identified.
Jim, the 300 homes then would be about what percentage of the homes in Tracy?
Well, Tracy is a town of 3,000, so there were perhaps 500 homes here, I guess, maybe 600 or 700. So it's certainly be fair to say that at least half of the homes in Tracy were either demolished or damaged.
We're wondering what the general atmosphere might be. There's a great deal of confusion after something like this, but we're amazed at the speed with which they're identifying accident victims and or rather the victims of the tornado and getting the names out to the public.
Well, civil defense has organized this thing very well. The county civil defense organization was up and working when state civil defense moved in to help them. And, of course, they've gotten help from surrounding communities also, from the Red Cross, from the Radio Relay League, from the State Highway Patrol. Everything about this has been surprisingly orderly. And I haven't found the shock that you might expect a community would suffer after taking such a mortal blow. There is some evidence of shock on the part of some people. I saw women out in the yards in front of their demolished homes picking up sticks, really not knowing where to start on the massive job of cleaning up, but at least seeing at least that the lawn got cleared.
We have just received a request from a ham radio operator in Tracy, Jim. The request is for 10 to 15 volunteers who know the Tracy area to help survey home damage. Now, those volunteers are asked to report to the Red Rooster Cafe in Tracy. This, again, is for 10 to 15 volunteers who know the Tracy area to help survey home damage.
That's right.
Any other type assistance that people can give except mainly staying away?
Staying away is most important of all, but number two would be the business of not trying to call in to get information. Arrangements have been made by the Radio Relay League to handle outgoing calls from Tracy by radio. The telephone facilities are still very very minor. There are only a few lines out of here, and we're talking on one of them.
Jim, thanks so much for your report, and of course you'll be reporting back throughout the morning, I'm sure, with information from Tracy, Minnesota.
We have received a request from ham radio operators in Tracy, Minnesota, one of the few communications links with the outside world. The request is for 10 or 15 volunteers of Tracy who know the Tracy area to help survey home damage. Apparently, they're having trouble getting requests for volunteers out of the city. Again, there is a need for 10 to 15 volunteers who know the Tracy area to help survey home damage. The volunteers are asked to report to the Red Rooster Cafe in Tracy. Temperature now 59, the high today 72.
But for a farmer who saw the tornado approaching and whose call gave 7 minutes warning, it might have been worse. But for the little town of Tracy, Minnesota, it was bad enough. James Borman of CBS radio affiliate WCCO reports from the scene.
It's traditional for little towns in Minnesota to stage summer celebrations or festivals. Here in Tracy, the big event is known as Boxcar Days, commemorating the early railroading center here. But last night, the boxcars dealt Tracy a mortal blow. Two of them were lifted off their rails by a tornado. They were carried across the housetops and then were smashed down in a new residential area 3 blocks away. Several of the 10 persons killed in last night's storms were found in the wreckage of homes smashed beneath those boxcars. As dawn broke this morning, the search for 14 persons still missing was renewed. Seems almost certain that more bodies will be found in the 300 shattered homes that lie splintered in 30 blocks of Tracy. Last night's outbreak of turbulent weather spawned at least 50 tornado funnels in scattered parts of Minnesota, Iowa, and North and South Dakota. But only here in Tracy did the brute force of the storm cause death and injury. This is Jim Borman reporting from Tracy.
As you've heard, Tracy, Minnesota was ravaged by a tornado last night. For more details, WCCO Radio News Director Jim Borman reports.
State Civil Defense Director Philip Iverson has just reported to Governor Lavander in Duluth after surveying tornado damage here in Tracy. This is the toll. 10 persons killed, 72 injured, 11 critically, 20 still missing. 30 blocks of homes and public buildings laid waste. 300 homes demolished or damaged. Dollar loss is estimated upwards of $4 million. Death and destruction roared out of the rich southwest Minnesota countryside and bore down on this little town of Tracy about 7 o'clock last night. The killer tornado left in its wake an indescribable tangle of shattered homes, splintered trees, power lines, demolished cars. This morning, people are out looking incredulously under the first light of dawn at this terrible evidence of nature's fury. The casualties, of course, are expected to increase as the search goes on this morning into the wreckage of this terrible tangle. They expect to find some of those 20 persons who are missing. The 10 who are reported dead are Fred Farlatis, Mrs. John Werner, Ellen Morgan, a widow, Mrs. Dan Haney, another widow, Mrs. Barbara Holbrook, an infant baby, 2 years old, Nancy Vasky, who had just been adopted, Mrs. Charles Harnder, and Paul Swanson, who had been blown out of his car and his body was found in a field some distance from his demolished car. Two others who have been found dead in a demolished car have not yet been identified. The National Guard is here, the Red Cross, Civil Defense, the Radio Relay League, and many others have come in from surrounding towns to help on the job of cleaning up and marshaling the forces to get this little town back on its feet. I have never seen anything quite like it before in my life. There's a order by the mayor of Tracy that today, Friday, will be closed. All stores will remain closed while the cleanup job progresses. It's impossible to pass through the town without seeing the destruction. And the decision was made to allow traffic to pass through on the main highway, east-west highway number 14, which runs through the city. However, cars will not be allowed to stop unless they have business here. And if the people in them have business here, they will be given passes, military-type passes, to come in and help. But if you're not interested in helping, the request is to please stay away from Tracy today until this terrible tangle, this tragedy is gotten in hand again. This is Jim Borman, WCCO Radio News, reporting from Tracy, Minnesota.
Severe weather hit parts of Iowa, too, last night. Tornadoes ripped through Arnold's Park in northwestern Iowa, and high winds caused extensive property damage near Ocheyedan and Milford. None was reported killed in the Iowa storms.
Studio St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830 WCCO.
First National Bank invites you now to join us for the banknote show. Time, weather, and song. Helping busy people to get up and go.
Busy people go with us wherever you are going. Joyce Lamont and Bob DeHaven sponsored it again. We're happy to announce by the First Family of Banks.
And that includes the Answer Bank, the First National Bank of Minneapolis, and the 13 neighborhood First Banks in and around St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Before the music, the highlights in the news, the death toll from the killer tornado at Tracy, Minnesota is now 10. 14 others missing. Governor LeVander has sent the National Guard to Tracy, and Mayor Al Johnson has closed all businesses for the day. Tornadoes caused less serious damage near Owatonna, Le Sueur, Janesville, Waldorf, Brainerd, Montevideo, St. Cloud, and Round Lake, Minnesota, and at Arnold's Park, Iowa. In world news, shooting has erupted across the Suez Canal for the first time in 3 weeks. The Viet Cong launched another rocket attack on Tan Son Hut Air Base, one American killed.
8:15, the temperature in the Twin Cities is 60, and the high this afternoon will be 70.
At least 10 persons are dead, 14 others missing in the southern Minnesota town of Tracy this morning. A killer tornado swept through the town about 7 o'clock last night, making a 3-block-wide path that destroyed many public buildings as well as homes. State Civil Defense and National Guardsmen are aiding in the cleanup operations. The town is sealed off to sightseers. Power is out. The Northwestern Bell says emergency calls can be made both into and out of Tracy. Tornadoes, high winds, and hail also hammered a wide area of northwestern Iowa during the night, causing extensive property damage but no deaths. Miraculously, no one was injured when the winds ripped off the roof of a dance hall with 50 persons inside and damaged the rides at a nearby amusement park. Other tornadoes touched down at Owatonna, Le Sueur, Janesville, Waldorf, Brainerd, Montevideo, St. Cloud, and Round Lake, Minnesota, but no serious damage was reported.
WCCO Radio News. Volunteers needed in Tracy tornado cleanup. This is Dick Anroth reporting, presented by the motor oil that's worth asking for. Pennzoil, the 100% pure Pennsylvania oil that contains Z7 and needs no other additive of any kind. Call for volunteers has gone out from Tracy, Minnesota, beginning the long process of digging out from last night's tornadoes. Volunteers who are familiar with the Tracy area are needed to help survey home damage and to look for more victims of the twister. They're asked to report to the Red Rooster Cafe. 10 people, 2 of whom are unidentified, are known to be dead. 27 people are in the hospital, 11 in critical condition.
Right now I have on the line with me our news director, Jim Borman, who's down at Tracy, Minnesota. It's a pretty bad thing down there, Tracy, right, Jim?
Yes, it is, Howard, and to make matters worse, as people are picking through the wreckage of their homes here, the skies are becoming overcast, and it's threatening now to rain, and it's going to make this misery even more miserable. It's surprising, though, Howard, how cheerful some of these people are as they look at the wreckage of their home and their neighbors' homes, and try to untangle all of this. I talked with one woman, a Mrs. Sanders, who was picking through a bunch of old clothing. She said she was trying to find her husband a sweater. And I said, well, this is your home, was it? And she said, no, our home was way over there. You might like to listen in on this.
All right.
See, there's part of our junk over there. He's got it in a pile, but I was running to look and see if I could find him a sweater or something.
Were you in the house when the...
No, we went down in the basement, and he went out and took another look, and by that time, it was coming right there. And we could see it, and he said, we're getting out of here. We're getting in the car. We're going to get beyond the tornado. And we jumped in the car, and we drove east. And then we turned and went south and got behind it.
And that probably saved you.
Oh, yeah. You go and look at our basement. There's big boulders down in there in the corner where we were at when we first went down.
And you're very close to where some of those boxcars landed.
That boxcar over there went through our house.
These were the famous boxcars that managed to smash up a good part of the city along with the tornado.
Mm-hmm. I heard your report earlier on CBS News this morning at 7 o'clock on those boxcars flying. They flew over... some houses and landed a new housing project, is that right?
Right. You'd be amazed at these cars. They're so enormous you wouldn't think they could budge, but they left the rails and traveled three blocks. There's a big two-ton I-beam that blew out of the school building, and it flew through the air for at least three blocks and landed on a lawn. There are all kinds of freak situations here, Howard, but the important thing is that these people are surprisingly cheerful, and the Sanders people, you were listening to Mrs. Sanders, her husband came over and talked with us also, and I asked him what he was going to do. Would he rebuild? And he said, well, he paused a long time, and then he said, well, I guess we're going to stay in Tracy. We like it here.
Oh, isn't that great?
That's wonderful.
Are there still some people missing, Jim?
Yes, there are still 20 names on the missing list. Six of those names are all in one family. And they're not sure whether the family was in the house or just not in town. They're hoping against hope that they weren't in town when the tornado struck.
Where's their house? Where's their house?
Their house is gone, simply vanished. It's mingled in with a lot of other people's houses.
And the family that lived in that house, six of them are missing.
Yes.
They're not sure where they are.
That's right.
You're going to be down there all day, aren't you?
Most of the morning, Howard, yes.
Well, feel free to call in here anytime you want.
All right, we'll be reporting back.
Thanks a lot, Jim.
Bye.
It's 12 after 8, Twin City temperature now is 62 degrees, and the rain is threatening over Tracy, Minnesota right now. Orrin Ryan is the owner and operator of Shady Rest Lodge in Gary, South Dakota. And I should have told Jim Borman. Well, I'll tell Jim when he phones in next. Orrin Ryan has this resort lodge in Gary, South Dakota. He has offered to donate the facilities of his lodge to homeless families in Tracy, Minnesota for a few days. He has 20 beds available and is willing to donate them to families whose homes were destroyed in the tornado. Gary, South Dakota is 60 miles northwest of Tracy. Wasn't that a nice gesture, Frank?
It sure was, boy.
Frank Fontaine with me again on the Howard Viking Show this morning. Are you familiar with these tornadoes?
No, I'm not. I was listening to the radio last night, and I thought it was out in my hall.
Mm-hmm. We don't... This is the tornado season.
Yes.
I would say from April through June in this area, and that's why... They're terrible things, as this one now that destroyed or damaged half of Tracy, Minnesota, went through a three-block area, the length of the town, from the southwest heading northeast, and it would either completely destroy or severely damage the homes in that area. And that's why the death toll now is 8, and there are approximately 20 people missing. And, of course, the damage is very extensive. But wasn't it nice of this man here, Mr. Ryan, to donate the Shady Rest Lodge in Gary, South Dakota?
Yes.
He has facilities for 20 people there from Tracy, Minnesota, whose homes are destroyed. And we had many calls at the radio station. People want to send down food and clothing.
Isn't that wonderful?
They should get them. You should, if you have some food and clothing or anything to contribute to help the people in Tracy, Minnesota, get in touch with the Red Cross. Jim Borman, our news director, is down at Tracy. We had a report from him 10 minutes ago. We'll have another report almost, I suppose. Well, certainly in the 8:30 news now, 7 minutes away. I hope that Jim Borman or somebody in Tracy, Minnesota can rehear this message now. We'll hear this message phoned in to us just a minute ago. There's a family living in Tracy, Minnesota by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Ken Grindeland. Mr. and Mrs. Ken Grindeland, a family of six, are in Washington, D.C. at this time. They're visiting Washington, D.C., this family of six. Their home is or was located in Tracy at 701 Center Street. 701 Center Street. That may help you there in Tracy, Minnesota. It's 8:30 now. Have the news and weather from Jurgen in just a minute.
Search continues for 20 missing in Tracy, Minnesota tornado. This is Jurgen Nash with WCCO Radio's 8:30 News, presented by Safe, Sound, Twin City Federal, the savings institution in this area that has moved ahead of all the rest. The massive cleanup operations from tornado-ravaged Tracy, Minnesota, are being aided by civil defense workers, state National Guardsmen, and volunteers. 20 persons are still missing, but Mayor Dale Johnson feels most of them will be accounted for this morning. 10 persons are known dead, at least 70 were injured, about a dozen of them critically. A state of emergency has been declared, and the town is sealed off to sightseers. Nearly half the dwellings in the southern Minnesota community were destroyed. Two boxcars lifted from railroad tracks had blown over rooftops and smashed down three blocks away. Streets were bulldozed of debris to permit the workmen to get through. Only persons with valid entry permits are allowed in the city. Emergency phone service is available now, both into and from Tracy. Power is still out, though. The hospital and armory are operating with emergency power. Tornadoes touched down in numerous other central Minnesota communities and at Arnold's Park in Iowa, but no one was injured, and only Arnold's Park suffered serious property damage.
Thank you, Jurgen.
You're welcome.
We have just had a call from the Minneapolis Hennepin County Red Cross. The chapter is in constant touch with Red Cross workers in Tracy and has had no request for used clothing for tornado victims. So for the time being, they request that no used clothing be taken to Tracy or brought to the Minneapolis Red Cross on Dell Place. Now I have on the line with me Jim Borman from Tracy, Minnesota. How are you now, Jim? What things look like?
Well, things have changed a little bit. If you'll recall when I talked to you earlier, I told you that rain clouds were coming over and things were looking pretty gloomy here. But since I talked to you last, the skies have started to clear. The sun's peeking out and people are smiling again.
That's good. That's good.
It really isn't so bad. The sounds that you may be able to hear, I'm talking right from Main Street in Tracy. The telephone company has set up a row of phone booths out in front of the telephone building so that the people in town will have a place to telephone to use. And so communications are being reestablished here.
Jim? Yes. A lady in Minneapolis phoned to say that a family of six living there at 701 Center Street, Tracy, Minnesota, that family of six is visiting in Washington, D.C., Mr. and Mrs. Ken Grindeland.
All right. We'll check it on the list.
All right.
And we have some sad news. There have been some more bodies found now this morning, and the death toll has now gone up to 13.
Oh, no, that's too bad.
But 13.
You had two unidentified victims. Have they been identified?
No, they have not yet been identified, nor have the three that have just been found.
Well, as soon as I suppose the next of kin are notified, then you'll give us the
information. That's right. As soon as that has happened, then we'll be able to carry their names on the air. We try, incidentally, to hold off on that until the family has been notified so that they don't suffer the shock of hearing it for the first time or the radio.
Certainly.
The sounds you may hear in the background here on Main Street in Tracy are the sounds of power saws cutting trees apart and the front loaders that farmers have brought in here to help clear the debris off the streets. They're piling it up and loading it in trucks, and the work of clearing up this mess is really in full swing.
People in the Twin Cities are anxious to send clothing and food down there, but the Red Cross says they have no need of that as yet.
Not as yet, and as I said earlier, it's surprising how cheerful these people are. They've all found places to stay, and the neighbors open up their homes to them, those homes that are still have doors left, and the community spirit here is really something to see. There is one problem, a very severe danger, however, at the moment. The Tracy Water Tower stood right in the middle of this maelstrom, but it wasn't knocked down. However, they haven't been able to turn the water on to supply water to the homes because a number of fire plugs were knocked over and the water would simply gush out. And they also feel that many of the plumbing in many of these basements that are covered with debris and may have people in them, they feel that if they turn the city water on, that debris or that water might fill up the basements and drown people who might still be living.
So what do they need?
Well, they simply have got to clear every basement and be sure that or find the cutoffs and turn the water off at each home.
There isn't a shortage of plumbers, is there?
Oh, there is a shortage of people who would be skilled in doing that, yes.
That'll take time.
I can see the water tower just a block away from me here, Howard, and there's a bed sheet tangled in the ladder that goes to the top of it, clear up near the top, and then farther down there's a pair of overalls clinging to it. And then in a shattered tree, right out from the very tip of one of the stripped-down branches, there's some ladies' bloomers caught there, and they're waving in the wind.
So amidst all this tragedy, there's a little bit of humor in it.
Yes, there is.
Thanks for that report, Jim. Call in later, will you?
This will be my last report until the noon news, Howard.
Okay, thanks very much.
Goodbye.
Bye.